Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's your old pals, Ben and Woods here, 97.3 The Fan. You can find us here most mornings, Monday through Friday. Did have the week off last week, feeling still very recharged from the vacation. Good to be back, though. Really good to be back on the air. Very lucky to do this every day here in America's finest city. Let's get our heads right on a Wednesday today. Got a busy, busy day. Couple, three busy beavers the next couple of days, actually. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He is the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
People are saying I sound like I'm in a tin can, so that's odd. And somebody was probably messing with the mics. That's what we always say.
Yeah, you sound good here in studio.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just on the YouTube stream. We will
fix
it for
you. A can of Woods.
Or we will not.
Yeah.
How do I sound?
One way or the other. Ben, to me, you sound great.
Yeah, you sound fine to me.
It should be fixed.
You sound
fantastic. Why people mess with it?
Every day of my life. Every day of my life we come in here.
If you listeners only knew.
Woods, mic isn't on or Ben's. What is happening? Your mic isn't on. What?
Paulie's got it fixed.
Are we fixed up?
He has dialed it in now.
So, do you... I'm such an a-hole for doing this to you on the spot, Paulie. Do you have the audio from yesterday, or can you load the audio quickly from the what you sent Ben and I, the Lisp?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you to load it. I said, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, give me a second.
So, we did a live stream from Philly last week. Welcome in again, everybody. Great to see you. Padres won. It was fantastic.
Executive producer Paul Ryan.
I did host him. Ben Higgins, I did you. Hi. Friendly Neighborhood Sports Anchor. I thought I did everyone. We did a live stream when we were in Philadelphia. We had had a few pops, and we were about to go out for the night, but we did a live stream for our gold members, and people kept saying in there, apparently, why do you guys sound like you have a lisp? And we said, what are you talking about? Like, I had, at that point, I had 3.5 giant Yinglings at the game. Which, so for me, three and a half giant Yinglings is, I'm pretty toasty. And I had a whiskey.
I had had a triple Casamigos Reposado.
And
one of those giant Yinglings at the game. John Marks, our friend, treated us. Now, we didn't realize the bartender at the... at the bar at Citizens Bank Park, was his former producer. I'm thinking I got at least a bit of a heavy-handed pour.
You got a big pour.
I can't imagine that was the normal shot of Casamigos that he gave me. It was, it was like a summer iced tea, filled with just tequila.
Can you imagine if I left the show and then in 5 years I was bartending and you guys ran in and I'd be like, whatever you want, here you go, I got you. Yeah, I'm sure those were a little heavier pours.
So. The Yingling, by the way, was a fantastic beer. Fantastic. Went down way too smoothly. Way too smoothly. So we get back to the hotel. We do a live stream. And people kept saying on the chat, guys, what are you doing? You all sound like you have lisps.
We also didn't have our normal setup, it was hard for all of us to see all the comments.
Right.
So we saw a lot of it after the fact as well.
And so all we had was a laptop and a mic that was plugged in, and we were just trying to give you guys a little bit of content on the road. We did not lug all the gear with us and all that. So somebody said, you guys all sound like you have lisps.
I've identified the issue.
Which is wild. So,
but I can't fix it.
There's no fix.
Not yet.
If there's somebody out there that is familiar, maybe you're a podcaster or something, and this has happened to you, let Paulie know, because this was insane. He went and tested it yesterday.
So the exact issue is, it's when we were using, we were on remote.
Yep.
I brought my iPad, and it's a brand new iPad. It's top of the line. It's great. And I plugged in a good quality microphone.
Sure microphone.
Yeah.
Like really, really good.
Good brand name. This was not a $20 Amazon, you know, question mark. And it plugs right in, USB-C, right into the iPad. The iPad recognizes the mic, and we're all good.
We jam.
And it's very minimal. Instead of three microphones, we got one for all three of us. You know, little iPad. Didn't need all the equipment. And for whatever reason, here's the key. We use a product called StreamYard.
Yes.
Website, software. That's where we stream all of our shows through.
Yep.
That's where the issue is. The issue is a StreamYard setting, some sort of, it's like I need to uncheck or check one box and it'll fix it.
And
I just don't know which box it is.
There's no Lisp setting.
Because when I was on.
Who would do a podcast to go, I like the sound of my voice, but I want to add a Lisp to it. Yeah. I really do. Now, again, there's not.
Because I went on Zoom and it worked crystal clear. I had a virtual meeting yesterday with somebody. It was totally clear. And I even asked. I'm like, hey, do I have a Lisp? Because I'm trying to figure this out. And they're like, no, you sound totally fine.
No.
So it is only in StreamYard. It's, you know, they have all these different settings like echo cancellation and auto adjust levels. So I was in there. I'm like, all right.
I'm going to test
There's a combination of boxes and levels to uncheck and everything that will fix this because it's only happening on StreamYard. So that is why if I'm streaming with my microphone and using my iPad as the source, it, for whatever reason, it's got this Lisp filter.
The Mike Tyson setting is Dominic called it.
Yeah, Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
It's spinal.
And we all said
I broke my back. Spinal.
Yeah,
well,
spinal.
We had my microphone picked up all three of us sitting close together. So that's what we use for the member stream. But like if we did a member stream tonight and I was at home, if I used my iPad and that microphone, as of right now, I would have the Lisp. So...
So Paulie went to test it yesterday, sent us the audio, and he's like, this is what they heard going out over the live stream.
There was a little sentence for me to read, and I read the same sentence three times, three different settings, trying to figure out if I figured it out.
This is what they heard.
Test 1, 2, 3. I'll just read right here.
You're not live viewer. I swear to God on my life, that was me talking normally, just as I'm talking right now, reading a comment on the StreamYard.
Do it again. Start it over.
Test 1, 2, 3. I'll just read right here. Live viewer comments show up on StreamYard. This is an example. Tap on a comment to show it on the screen. Do I have a Lisp? I don't know. Now we're going to change the settings. And we're going to go to audio.
Now, I did hear a little bit of a change on this next setting, but it's still lispy.
And we're going to go to audio, and we're going to take off echo cancellation. Okay, now we'll try this. Live viewer comments show up on StreamYard. This is an example.
StreamYard.
Tap on a comment to show it on screen.
Screen.
Yeah, screen.
Spinal.
I'm dead.
And then we're going to go to one more audio setting
Truman
and make
Capote.
Sure that I don't have a lisp.
Lisp.
And we'll do automatically adjust mic volume. Okay. Now we're trying. This is the third setting with nothing
third setting.
So once I identify that it worked fine if I Zoomed or FaceTimed or anything else, it's only
StreamYard.
StreamYard. So I've identified the issue, but I have not figured it out. I'm going to make our engineers be working on this the rest of the morning.
Let me add. This.
But, like, I was mortified to be like, we did a
full 45-minute thing.
Full recap of Philly.
We're out here. We're watching the Philly game last night, and it was really good.
You guys won't believe what happened at baggage claim.
I had a whiskey and a couple of beers.
Dylan Thief's girlfriend was there.
We talked to Dylan Thief's girlfriend. And
God, dude.
Jason Adam was there. Phillies Padres tonight at the bank.
And I want to say, and this is on behalf of all three of us, this segment in no way should be construed as disparaging toward people with speech impediments, which is a real thing.
Both of my kids talk this way.
We understand.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Dylan Thief. Now, I said that without a Lisp filter. I just said it one day. Dylan Thief. And I don't know why it came out that way. And I don't know why this happened. But I think Keegan said I would watch it all over again. It was hilarious. Man, it is just insane. So I couldn't believe it. Paulie tested it yesterday. We cannot.
Now we're going to change the settings.
We cannot get to the bottom of it at all.
It's so funny.
I think lisps, by the way, are adorable. Adorable. Both my kids talk like this. Both of them, you know? And
test 1, 2, 3.
It's incredible. I can't believe it. I cannot believe it, man.
Oh, God.
I cannot believe it. So that's what Paulie was working on yesterday, trying to get to the bottom of this. Yeah, cheese steaks. So good. We loved it.
I'm afraid the feted buns.
It was the feted buns with whey and Angelo's. It was so good. It was insane. It was insane. I'm talking like Michael Strahan. Exactly. Like I think Michael Strahan's a badass.
No, if that's how I talked, I wouldn't care.
Yeah,
it would
be fine. It would be great.
But that's not what I sound like, and that's not what we sound like.
It sure is a weird filter. If it is bizarre. In fact a filter, I don't know how to get to the bottom of it. I really don't. And you know, good luck, Paulie, trying to figure that out. Hopefully,
why can't we think of the filter that makes us look, you know, super handsome or sound have pipes like Morgan Freeman?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Like the old Dave Rickards microphone. Oh, I've sat next to Dave Rickards. His voice is fantastic, but that mic it made him sound 50 times deeper, richer. Good morning, it's Dave Rickards. This is how I talk. I talk
test
like this.
Test 1, 2, 3. I'll just read right here.
He did talk. He does talk that way. He does have a deep, rich baritone voice and very powerful. But his microphone was so processed, too, that when it came through, the beautiful sound. It was the best voice I've ever heard. One of the best voices I've ever heard on the radio was Dave Rickards.
Rich and honey,
and with a little tinge of like raspy and wispy, right. and it was just brilliant. And I had asked my very first host. He goes, "Oh no, it's the microphone he uses. They have worked on that thing to make it sound like he is God talking to you." And that's how you felt when you listened to DSC. I would like to get that. Paulie, at some point, if we can work on getting our microphones to sound more like Dave Rickards.
But the upshot is that we want to make sure that all of our equipment is dialed in because we are set to record episode number 2 of Off the Air coming up. And
won't be using my microphone for that one.
Hopefully you'll see that dropped in the next few days. So, our new venture that is a podcast and a show that is not for on-the-air consumption.
Yeah, and we're recording that today. Now, I was going to ask you guys this, because, Paul, you talked about maybe throwing it up next week.
My idea was, we didn't know when we would record it. There's options for this week and even early next week, but I thought, regardless of when we record it, what if we did like a premiere on YouTube Wednesday night? Like 5 o'clock next Wednesday, a week from tonight.
How come? Why wait a week to get that content?
Well, I agree with Paulie.
Because
do you?
We didn't know until like last night that we were going to be doing it today. B, I thought, you know, like next week, Woodsy leaves on Wednesday. It's your last show for a few days, going to Manchester, and then we have the All Star game on Tuesday. We have the Home Run Derby on Monday night, but we got Jack S going on Wednesday night. So what if we did like a 5 p.m. launch or something like that?
I'm the worst because I want to record it today and post it tonight.
You do.
That's how I roll.
But we want to dial it in. And it gives everybody, because not everybody watches it the second it drops, while you're gone, gives them a connection to Woods for a couple of days while you're off in Manchester.
I'm planning on calling in.
That's great.
When I'm in Manchester. I'm 8 hours ahead of you guys. So 8 full hours. So when you guys start the show.
2 o'clock in the afternoon.
2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll probably be at the pub. Drinking some Guinness with my buddy and I'll definitely call in and say hello from the road. So I don't know. The way I look at it is,
I mean, I'm open to whatever.
Have good content, I think you put it out. But I'll defer to you.
Do
guys,
we have good content for today's Off the Air?
Oh yes,
totally.
As far as you know,
as
we do.
As far as you guys know, it is really, really, really dynamic and.
It's a banger. You're not going to want to miss this one.
You don't want to miss this one.
It's so good, we can't even tell you about it.
I can't even tell you what. It's so good, I can't even tell you what we're going to talk about yet. That's how good it is.
Which was also the case last time.
Correct. So. No, I'm not wearing a suit. That was a one-off. I'm in sweatpants and a t-shirt. Like, that's I'm not doing Off the Air in a full suit every time. No question. So, Jay in the middle. Well, yeah, we can talk about... Ben's favorite positions again if you want. That was a really fun part of it. If you missed it, go back. You can search on YouTube, Ben and Woods Off the Air, in case you missed it. You'll hear a very mortifying and humbling story about me. I've got another one, but I don't want that to be like the... I don't want it to be off the air, Woodsy's embarrassing stories.
Cowgirl?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so I have another really, really mortifying story. But I, you know, again, I don't want, it's maybe the worst. You guys know it.
I do.
It's like the, it's the worst thing that ever happened to me.
I think it's at least 3 or 4 times worse than you telling your getting scammed story.
Oh, 100%.
And that was pretty bad.
That
was
bad.
And this one's significantly worse.
Significantly worse.
But.
I'll tell it if you want.
But yeah, we were a little torn. We're like, is that just going to be the new show now? Is just what crazy thing happened to Woods?
Yeah. I mean, I'll
enough happens to you.
Enough happens to me. My life is one giant Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. Folks got to town yesterday from Dallas, and it was nice to see them. They looked fantastic. They had Bo the majority of the afternoon. Taylor was in school, and we all went and picked up Taylor and went to dinner and, you know, went to a nice place, Union, you know, Union Tap,
yeah,
down in Encinitas. I had the steak frites, which was delicious. Really, really well done. And, yeah, we had a nice dinner. And my parents, so you could tell, I mean, they got up at 2 a.m. to travel here yesterday. Had Bo the majority of the afternoon. And then they said, all right, well, we'll see you guys later. Like, they wanted to go home and rest, which I totally, totally get because they're a lot. And I just looked at them and I said, you know, you have both of these dudes tomorrow. They're going to the museum and doing some stuff today. And I said, you know, you have both of them. Strap in. Like, you don't realize these dudes together, how hard they fight and play and how difficult it is. And so they're supposed to spend the night with Gabby and Pops tonight. But there's a good part of me that thinks, I'll just pick them up. I'll just pick them up at like 5. You know, we'll go to dinner and we'll just take them home. Because it's a lot, man. It's a lot for my folks to handle.
How often does the playing turn into tears and fighting?
98.4% of the time. Yeah, mostly every single time they play together, it ends up Taylor gets hurt. Bo runs in first. And says, I didn't do anything. I did nothing. Well, why did he have a black eye? It was an accident. Okay. All right. So last night was they were playing basketball in Bo's room, and Bo made a rule that if you were going to shoot a three-pointer, the other person could yell out block, and you couldn't shoot a three. It doesn't make any sense, but they're 7-4. So they run in. Bo said, I just kept saying block, and then Taylor's crying. He goes, I want to go to bed. I go, why? He goes, Bo wouldn't let me shoot three-pointers. He just kept saying block. I go, well, why didn't you say block when he shot a three-pointer? And he just kind of looked at me blankly like, oh.
I didn't know that was an option.
I could have done that as well. And I said, yeah, next time just do the same rules and beat him. There's a whole big to do. Man, yeah, it was it's tough. So my parents got their work cut out for him today. But if they did that for, yeah, imagine that in the NBA. Block! Steph Curry's like, all right, well, I'm done. Damn it, you got me. It's like yellering out Uno when you have one card left. Uno! Gotcha.
Nick Pavetta's like about to make his pitch.
No,
he's looking in. He goes, no swing.
No swing.
You can't swing. Yeah. Sorry, I called it. You can't swing.
The hitter's like, no curve, and he's like, damn it. Gotta throw this heater down the middle. Dude, it was so good. It was so funny.
I'd be in favor of that rule.
It's interesting. Like, let's make sports more interesting with you know, weirder rules. Speaking of,
Bo
by the
Woods,
way,
Commissioner of Major League Baseball, 100%, who says no.
Speaking of, we got bananas tickets yesterday.
Oh.
This is a debate.
I was watching them on TV. They've been on ESPN lately.
I'm going to...
You guys won. You got into the lottery.
Got into the lottery. So my wife got in. She got her tickets for them.
Oh, no.
Per my request, for them. We have family friends that want to go as well. So I also got into the lottery. So after the gym, my wife texted me. She goes, I need you to go get tickets for the Coopers. And I said, okay. So pulled over on the side of the road, went in. It was maybe, speaking of CAPTCHAs, I went through 40 CAPTCHAs. we talked yesterday about CAPTCHAs, how it always gets you. I was like, this is a stoplight. I had to pull over on the side of the road. I was like, I'm in. And it kept sending me different codes. Had to put the code in. Oh, your CAPTCHA was wrong. Do it again. It was the hardest thing to secure in my life. I have tickets to Oasis in Manchester. Like, those were much easier to get than these Savannah tickets. They sold out, guys.
90,000 people are going to be at Petco Park September 5th and 6th. We had the bananas on when they were playing like high school fields or you know, minor league single A ballparks. And, you know, they came on to like help promote it to sell more tickets. What this thing has turned into is a juggernaut. Now, I had made my intentions pretty clear to my wife that I didn't want to go. My kids haven't really expressed much interest in going either. But my wife hit me with the crap dad yesterday. Like, oh, you really don't want to go for your children. And hit me with that guilt. And so I've been racked with guilt and guilt for, you know, 12 hours or so. And I wanted to get your thoughts on it. I said from the beginning, babe, I have no... And it's not like a moral... It's the fact that it's 50,000 people watching. It's more of just like going down...
You don't
down.
Have any like interest in just like seeing the spectacle that it's become?
I don't.
That's fair.
I mean, I took my kids to the Harlem Globetrotters when they came to the sports arena when they were younger. But you can't go to everything. I mean, you cannot go to everything.
Do you honestly? Can I give you my honest reason of why that I'm reluctant to go and why I really didn't want to go from the start? Because what I don't want to do is slog on down there, wait in the line, get in, and then be there for 15 minutes. And my kids are like, oh, I'm bored. The thought of it makes me – so I just thought I'm going to take myself out of the equation of that.
They keep it pretty lively.
I think
the kids do enjoy the spectacle and the constant.
You don't know my children.
Action of what's
my
going
children,
on.
My children, Ben, you have no idea. And the other thing, too, if both of them came in and go, Dad, can you take us to the bananas? Done. I take my kids. You guys know. I take my kids everywhere. They've been to the Sphere. You guys haven't been to the Sphere. My kids have been to the Sphere. My son's been to 10 concerts already, 7 years old. I have no problem taking them places. They haven't asked me. I coach. I do all kinds of stuff. I just told Hannah, I go, I don't really, just so you know, like, I don't really want to go to the banana. She goes, oh, no problem. And then yesterday she hit me with the, oh, you really don't want to go with your kids and take your kids. And I said, all right, well, so I may be going now.
Are the bananas like super on the kids' radar? Like,
I mean, they both have bananas hats, but they don't like go watch the banana.
Watch
never. I mean, we tried to watch one maybe 6 months ago, 5 minutes. Bo was like, no, all right, I'm gonna go play.
I do get the sense it's a more of an in-person than a television.
There's
experience.
A small part of me that was like, yeah, if I could get in, even with like a media pass, like it's a spectacle. I mean, we don't get a lot of things like that coming through San Diego anymore. But if I had kids, like I think it would be a no-brainer if they wanted to go.
All my friends are taking their kids. I feel like the biggest piece of ass ever. I really do. And I didn't until... The missus yesterday goes, oh, you really don't want to go with your children to the bananas. So you guys know I'll be there. But I did not have any interest at first in going. It's not for me.
Woods is
Are you waiting for them to be
manipulatable?
Like, you're waiting for them to ask you to be like the local celebrity that comes out in the middle of the game.
You're like part of it. You want to be part of the show.
No.
If you go.
No.
Not just a normal person sitting in the stands.
I don't even want to go. If they asked me to come out and take an AB, I wouldn't. I don't even want to go. But, Keegan, great point. Took my kid to Disney on Ice. 20 minutes in, they were over it. The exact same thing happened to me and Anna and the kids. Disney on Ice. We're down there at Sports Arena. Biggest fight our family's ever had. I go, I love taking my kids places. I have no problem doing it. But now I feel like...
It's like tough because you can make that excuse for everything then. Kids are going to have short attention spans. Yeah. It's not worth it. It's too long. They're going to get bored. We're going to have to leave early. And if you did that, you'd never do anything at all. So you do have to pick and choose some chances sometimes and go places. I think the bananas, something that could hold their attention for a longer period of time.
Maybe. I mean, we go to Padres games and Taylor's like, all right, I'm out. We sit in we get great seats. My buddy Boggsy, you get his seats. We sit down. We're 10 rows from the field. Here we go. Bo and I are ready. We're watching the game. Taylor, 15 minutes. I'm ready to go. I want to go play in Gallagher Square. It's hard. I'm sorry. What I'm saying is, like, I just thought I would take myself out of the equation, but apparently not. Apparently I'm going to be in the equation.
We need to get things moving here on a Wednesday morning. It's a big league Wednesday, and we're going to check traffic. We're going to come back. And when we come back, and we can just go straight to break because I want to get started here, Paulie. We have a shockingly interesting Big League Wednesday guest coming up.
So happy.
I will tease that and let you know who's coming on and when after traffic, after we come back, and then we'll get to our Padres wrap up of a really interesting, tense 1-0 win over the Arizona Diamondbacks for your San Diego Padres last night.
Ben Woods, 1-2-3.
Ben and Woods listless on a Wednesday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Before we do anything else, congratulations to Robert Suarez, added to the National League All-Star roster yesterday as an injury replacement for Atlanta's Chris Sale. So the NL saves leader will, in fact, be at the All-Star game. Second selection for Robert Suarez.
Good.
Is poised to cash in as he can opt out of his contract at the end of this season and maybe try to lock in one more long-term deal. Will it be with the San Diego Padres? My suspicion would be not, that we're probably enjoying the last couple of months of Robert Suarez's tenure in San Diego, but you never know.
Never know.
Things do change.
Stranger things have happened.
Congratulations to Robert Suarez.
Well, have you guys thought about how maybe weird or uncomfortable it's going to be in the NL locker room based on the fact that the manager is Dave Roberts, and he is going to be managing Manny Machado, who almost killed him. Last postseason, almost took his life.
Dude, that was so much intent behind that.
So much intent. It was sinister, and there was intent behind it. So that's his starting third baseman, through no choice of his own, by the way. Like, that was voted in. Manny's the best in the game, so he's going to be starting at third. Dave Roberts will be his manager. He'll be putting him in the lineup. Then Robert Suarez walks in there, and there's Shohei Ohtani, who he just dotted with a 98-mile-an-hour heater. Is it weird? Don't you think it's going to be a little bit odd?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it, but you're absolutely right.
Have you not thought
right.
about it? It's the first thing I thought of. Right. I went, oh, God. Oh, like, what's the con? Like, when Manny walks in, is it just, Manny's just, he's Manny, so he's going to be like, what's up?
Manny will be fine.
He'll be fine.
And Dave already admitted it was a complete put on, so I think they'll be okay. I think the Suarez Ohtani thing's a little bit. Ohtani played it off so well. He'll probably just go,
hey, what's up?
Hey,
how you doing?
How you doing? And kind of move on from there.
Now here's the other thing I worry about, because I'm psychotic. I'm a Padres fan. So if Dave Roberts puts Robert Suarez in some crap position to fail, I'm going to be mad. If he pitches him too long, I'm going to be mad.
Suarez pitches six innings.
He's a starter. Just keep rolling. He's like, all right, bro. Like, he's out there. So I don't know. Like, I just think it's going to be... I just think it's weird. I think it's a weird thing. Now, I do know this. I'll say this. They're all professionals. They all have a great respect and understanding for the fraternity that is the big leaguers. So I'd say it as kind of a joke, but it is something that popped in my head as I go, you better not put him in a position to fail. And you, like Jason Adam, you know, what is that going to look like with the, you know, your rival's manager is your boss for a day or two. So something to watch, something to take note of.
Nick Pivetta made another compelling case that he should be at Atlanta last night, and we'll go through it in our Padres wrap up with Jesse and Tony's highlights coming up next. I actually don't want Nick there now. Not this is selfish, but because he pitched last night, he could pitch again on Sunday against the Phillies, which would make him ineligible. And I don't know that the Padres can afford not to start Nick Pivetta. They may want to give him that extra break because they want him to be fresh for the second half. I'll be curious to see how A.J. Preller and Mike Shildt decide to handle the starting rotation this weekend. Because remember, last year they gave Michael King a bit of an extra break during the All-Star break as well. Gave him some days before, days after. I don't think he actually went on the injured list, but it turned into like a long enough stint that he missed two starts going through. Do they want to do that with Nick Pivetta, or do they need to win these games? Do they need, you know, him? They need Nick Pivetta on the mound more than anyone else right now because he's been their most effective starter by a wide margin so far this season.
Yeah, no question. And they had the stats there last night in the broadcast talking about how he's been the stopper after a loss. You want Nicky P on the bump. And I can't, you know, we're going to talk about the game for a long time today. Certainly, it was one of the more compelling games you'll see.
Nicky P, huh?
And the guy is a beast. I mean, straight up, he's a warrior. His comments in the UT to Kevin Acey after the game, I'll read those to. Fantastic, man. What a steal. You know, we talked to you a little bit yesterday, Benny, about the swings and misses from A.J. Preller this year. And I think it's fair to say Martin Maldonado, Jason Hayward, Yuli Gurriel, those are swings and misses, certainly. But the Gavin Sheets of the world, the Nick Pivetta, weird contract, you know, manipulation, the his ability to be flexible on it to get Nick Pivetta here, that is a home run. That's a home run out of the ballpark, man. So really well done on that part. You have
say
to give credit.
It was a pivotal decision by A.J. Preller.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
Only you would say that it was a pivotal instead of pivotal decision by.
Inspired the incorporator of guano, so we'll get to that. Coming up, don't do this, but in the second half of Ben and Woods today, right after Take on Woods at 8:20, it is a Big League Wednesday, and yes, you're all dialed in the chat, so you've seen some of our teasers, but if you have not, I think you'll be interested to know that we are going to be joined this morning by former Big Leaguer and current Arizona Diamondbacks manager, Torey Lovullo, who is in town. And
quickly, Lovullo, Lovullo.
They say Lovullo on the broadcast. It's spelled right. With a U, but right. I always hear Lovullo. So okay. It's probably somewhere in between.
I'm going to break it for sure.
I think.
No question.
Yeah, we've always kind of wanted to talk to Torey Lovullo, but
always.
I think after his interaction with Ketel Marte, with the heckler and what he did and humanity that he showed.
That's the word right there, humanity.
Yeah. I want to talk to him about how can you be a big league ball player, which is, you know, it's a guy's kind of frat house sometimes, but also keep that humanity at the same fit in.
You mean for Ketel or for Torey?
For Torey. Ketel as well, but really Torey shows an incredible amount of humanity.
It was amazing.
But he's still a big league skipper. He's got to, you know, corral 26 guys in a clubhouse and make it work every single day. I've been impressed by how he has managed. Got to the World Series a couple of years ago. Surprise. He has done a good job as the skipper. I want to talk to him about Corbin Carroll and, you know, how Corbin Carroll got through his sophomore slump that Jackson Merrill is going through right now.
He's just a really good baseball man. And he, you know, when you get the opportunity to talk to a big league skipper other than Dave Roberts, I think you have to take it every single time. And he's been a guy we have been high on for a few years. We all have a general like of Torey L. From the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Lovullo.
Torey Lovullo. Don't say it because you're going to put it in my head now. Torey Lovullo. Torey Lovullo.
Say it three times.
Torey Lovullo. Torey Lovullo. Torey Lovullo. Guys, it's actually Lovullo. Should we ask him? I'll just ask him. Why not? I'm very excited. Paulie, great job. Sometimes you just throw the bait in the water and they bite. And
you just kind of look at the week and you're like, ooh, that would be, let's see if we can make that happen.
I'm excited, man.
Credit to Diamondbacks PR for helping us out.
I'm very, very, very excited. I think he has done a great job with that team. And you know, anytime again, you get a chance to pick somebody's brain like that and talk about the humanity that he showed, I'm all in.
He did lose last night, though.
He did.
And Padres needed that win. We will get into the highlights. Padres wrap up coming up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
Oh, yes.
It's the
Padres wrap-up.
Brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort. The player's place.
I want to go fast, but I want to go slow. And I want to go deep.
About to deliver his 60th pitch of the night. Pavetta set and ready. 3-2 to Gurriel. Here it comes. And a swing and a miss. Got him to go after a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. And back-to-back Hayes to leave him loaded here in the top of the fourth inning. No runs, one hit. And the Arizona Diamondbacks leave three men on base after 3.5. No score at Petco on the Padres radio network. Runner at second, two outs in a scoreless game, fifth inning. And the 2-1 to Carroll, lifted in the air to center field and deep. Merrill's going back. He is at the wall. Leaps up, and he made the catch. Jackson Merrill over the wall in center field to take it away from Corbin Carroll and keep this game right where it's at. What a play by Jackson Merrill as he robs a homer for the second time in the last week. Morahone kicks and deals, and a swing and a miss. Got him with a changeup. And for the second time tonight, the Diamondbacks leave him loaded.
Peak.
Ooh. Hit in the air to deep right field. Luis Arraez towards the Petco porch. Gonna go! Fifth of the season for Luis Arraez. And the first run of the night as the Padres go ahead 1-0 here in the seventh. Taylor hits it in the air to deep right field. Fernando's going back. He is at the wall. Leaps up. And he made the catch! Oh, for the second time tonight, the Padres rob a home run. Merrill got Carroll in the fifth. And now Tatis takes a game-tying homer away from Josh Naylor in the eighth, and it is still 1-0.
Mars about to throw his 20th pitch of the inning. 3-2. Here it is. Thomas swings and misses. Strike three. Suarez closes the door. His major league leading 26th save of the year. And the Padres shut out the Diamondbacks 1-0 thanks to a home run from who else? Luis Arraez.
Yeah, a ton of positives tonight. Gritty win. Nicky, fantastic. Third now all-time Canadian strikeout leaders. It's a big deal. But he was terrific. You know, established it from the very beginning. Went all the way through, made a lot of quality pitches. Fastball was good, threw in for effect. Curveball was outstanding. Heart of a lion, so terrific job by Nick.
Fantastic job by Nick Pavetta. Nicky P was unbelievable.
Canadian or not, it was good performance.
Yeah, Canadian or not. How about this quote, man? This made the hair on my arms stand up. He said after the game, he said, "I live for competition. It's what I play baseball for. I live to beat my competitors because they give me their best efforts every single night. So I'm going to give them my best effort. It's a game at the end of the day, but this is what I live to do. I live to win baseball games. I love to live to just do my thing, but out of respect for the other guys." When you see a guy after 103 pitches scream that he does not, "I don't want to come out of this game. Don't come get me. Oh, man, it's what you dream of. It's what you try to teach your children, right? Like, if your kids love baseball, you try to teach them, you don't never ask, don't look over in the dugout. If you look over in the dugout, that means I'm coming to get you. That means you don't want to compete anymore." And Nicky P has that in spades. He was brilliant last night. And Merrill Kelly was beyond brilliant as well. It was a really good pitching matchup.
Nick Pavetta, he comes at opponents pretty hard.
He does.
And I was wondering whether that would rub some people the wrong way.
Probably
when,
does.
When the Padres first acquired him. And maybe it does, but it hasn't sparked anything.
No,
like, you know,
it hasn't.
You know, Padres have had their share of incidents, but none of them have been because Nick Pavetta was overly demonstrative.
I think you're seeing it a lot more in the league right now with pitchers. You saw Jacob Mizrowski last night against the Dodgers. He was really, what's the word you just used that I really like?
Overly demonstrative.
Demonstrative.
Yeah.
He was. Dustin May is very demonstrative. Alex Vesia, I've seen the gifs of those guys going around. There's something cool. There's something cool about a guy like Adrian Morahone, who comes in last night, gets that big out, and just kind of walks calmly off the mound. There's something cool about that, but there's also something cool about the guy that's fired up and pumping his fist, too. I got no problem with either of it.
I thought about that same thing when Tatis robbed that home run.
How cool was that?
I thought, how cool do you have to be to rob a home run like that, know it's in your glove, and then just stand like a statue? No emotion whatsoever. I mean, that the no emotion is emotion.
Yeah.
It's badassness.
Yes.
But to just stand there and then flip the ball out of your glove, like if any of us ever had the athletic ability to rob a home run like that, we'd be jumping up and down.
Paulie, I'd be running in with my pants around my ankles,
what
dude?
Just happened? He's just like, yeah, that's business as usual.
So cool.
So cool.
I would say, and I'll argue, you tell me what you think.
Okay.
There is a fine line. I believe Nick Pivetta stays on the correct side of it. But you, I got tired of Madison Bumgarner.
Oh, 100%.
I'm so tough. I'm so intense.
Yes.
I care more than everybody else. I don't get that sense from Nick Pivetta, but it is a fine line, and I wonder whether I'm just wearing Padres-colored glasses when I look at Nick Pavetta's reaction, and I go, I love it. I love how much he cares and how fired up he is. And then when I used to watch Madison Bumgarner do it and go, oh, that act wears so thin after so long.
I think the staring at I've never liked the, I just K'd you up and I'm going to stare you down. Does it look cool sometimes? Yeah, especially if it's your guy that's doing it. But also, like, that's what can rub you the wrong way. If I K you up, Benny, and I just stare at you the whole way back in the dugout, waiting for you, like, what's up? You want to say something? I just K'd your ass. That I don't really like. When you get a big K and you hop off the mound and you're looking into your dugout going, let's go, like you're fired up, getting your guys, you know, pumped up, I have never had a problem with that. I don't think you're showing anybody up. I think you're excited in the moment because you just competed your ass off.
I think it also helps that when he's not on the mound, Nick Pivetta is a truly nice guy.
He's a great guy.
Normal, nice guy. And Madison Bumgarner
was not a good dude. Not a good guy.
Never was.
You absolutely love playing with him. I think I'd say 80% of guys probably really love playing with him. And then there was probably those 20% that were like, dude, if you keep this up, like, I get dotted. You know, I get hit for this. Now, you couldn't ask for a better guy to take the ball in a game that you needed to win back in his prime than that guy, period. Like, there's no postseason like
his. His problem was that I don't sense that Nick Pivetta, if he gives up a single or even a home run or whatever, it's like Bumgarner would stare at these runners like,
yes,
who do you think
the,
you, or like,
the whole time around the thing.
I remember an instance, it might have been like Manny or even like a Will Myers, they fouled one off and they were kind of bummed at themselves, like, God, that was my pitch. I'm mad, like, you thought you could do better than, you could possibly do better than fouling a pitch off of me?
Well,
like, who do you think you are?
Sean asked the question, he said, so the same goes for bat flips then, Woods? That's showing the pitcher up, it goes both ways. I don't agree. I think there's a way to do it and a way not to. This is just my personal opinion. If I hit a big home run and I stare at it and then I flip my bat to my dugout, no big deal. But if I'm looking at the pitcher, you know, talking, they do it in college baseball a lot now. There's a lot of like, man, this feels personal. Guy gets a K and looks at the guy and screams F you at him, you know?
Bro, I thought Arise stared at the Diamondbacks dugout after his home run.
I think he just looked away. I couldn't tell if he was, I don't think he was talking smack or anything. I don't know. I just think it's fun. I think there's a lot of fun in the game, and I really have no problem with guys celebrating their accomplishments. Nicky P, whether he's got our uni on or a Red Sox uniform on, we heard that about him too. We talked to Rob Bradford. He's like, man, he is intense. Like, he actually rubs some guys the wrong way. Certainly, that happens all the time. But
Lou in the chat says the Dodgers pitcher, forget his name, ticked off about or. He ticked us off bad when he'd go nuts after, like, Gratterall,
Vesio,
Joe Kelly,
yeah.
Banda, Vesia.
Joe Kelly was a starer. Gratterall, he stares you down. He called Fernando, Kelly called Fernando a P-word after he K'd him up.
I think we have to be fair in saying that when it's done at the right moment,
yeah, cool.
It sucks to be on the losing end of it.
It does.
When they get you have bases loaded, one out, and in the bottom of the eighth inning, and you know, Banda comes in and gets two strikeouts, I would expect him to lose his mind.
Tip your cap.
It's actually worse when they are so confident they're going to get you out that they don't even need to celebrate.
That's actually
at least they care enough that, hey, I accomplished something by getting one of your guys out.
Adrian,
that I'm gonna celebrate it.
Adrian's really good at it. I mean, Adrian will get a huge K and he'll just look to the sky, point, and walk off the mound. I think he's really, really. Like, he's, and that's cool to me too. But listen,
Suarez does
we can do this all day long talking about what we like or what we appreciate. You cannot say enough great things about that's what we begged for. But it just so happens they never got a runner in the scoring position. You know what? Pretty brilliant idea. I had home runs really help. They really, really help your team, even if you only get one of them. And the most the most surprising suspect last night. Yaks one out in Luis Arraez. So look, gritty 1-0 win. We'll talk to the skipper of the Diamondbacks today about what it's like to watch your pitcher like Merrill Kelly be so dominant. And you know, you give up a bomb to Luis Arraez, you got to tip a cap.
And of course, the two defensive plays that will be
brilliant.
You know, running on the 2025 highlight reel at the end of the season. Merrill robs Carroll, and Tatis takes one away from Josh Naylor. You don't win the game if either of those balls is not caught. So two fantastic defensive plays, even though neither guy really contributed much offensively. Tatis did, you know, got on briefly and then was erased on the double play.
So I missed that. I was putting the boys down. So, and my phone had gone ham. Yeah, now I didn't rewind it, so
yeah,
somebody
Adam
needs
was
to explain.
Texting us
Adam
about
was
it.
Livid.
So they threw over twice quickly to try to get Tatis, picked him off. So they were out of step-offs, and so Tatis had a chance to get a really good lead because they couldn't throw over. And on the pitch, Tatis took off, but Arraez swung at the first one and sharply grounded into a double play.
Got it.
A little bad luck, but you could have waited and given Tatis a chance to steal second there. That's an argument that can be made. I want to give Mike Schilt credit for something, though. Huge from last night's game. We'll get to that when we come back. And Jesse's incorporator word from yesterday as well. All ahead, hour number two. Ben and Woods next on 97.3 The Fan.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays, and now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.